Sometimes we can misunderstand people, what they say. I wonder why that is. Could it be because we're in a hurry? Could it be because there's too much noise? These guys riding a motorcycle. The motorcycle guys laugh at that and really got it because they understand what you got the helmet on. You're saying stuff to each other all the time, and you can't even hear a word they're saying. I remember riding with a friend of mine, and as he's riding, and he was saying something. I was going, so he'd ride beside me, said something else. I was going like this, and then he's riding some more, and he said something again. I just went, so he quit. I didn't hear a word he said. It wasn't until we stopped that we figured out what he was saying. And motorcycle guys got to use sign language, right? You're driving along, you go, that means I'm running out of gas, I got to pull over. So, but these guys misunderstand it, and sometimes we can be in a hurry. Maybe we're too busy, we're distracted, we're tired. Experts estimate that 75 to 95% of the visits to the doctor are stress-related. Time magazine said that life today, as we know it and experience, is a pressure cooker. Dr. Joel Elks of the University of Louisville once said, our mode of life itself, the way we live, is emerging as today's principal cause of illness. Why is that? Why does it seem that in our life that the hecticness, the busy, that it never seems to break, it never seems to stop, and that we're always in a panic, feeling we're behind and having a hard time keeping up? Have we forgotten how to slow down? Have we forgotten how to take a break, to relax, to just rest? They used to say, take time to smell the roses. It's not all about the destination. We got to learn to enjoy the journey. So what's the solution? Exodus chapter 20, verse 9 said this, 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season, the harvest, you must rest. So 6 days you work, 7 days you rest. And then it said, even on the plowing or the harvest time. For the Israelites, they were an agricultural nation. They got that. How many people here work in a farm? Okay, we've got one. How many people have ever worked on a farm? Okay, we've had a few more. Lots of us haven't been on a farm, don't understand a farm. We appreciate what the farm does because we eat what the farm makes or grows or produces. But in the plowing time, or the harvest time, was a very hectic time for the farmer because he had to depend on weather. And he had to wait for the ground to be dry enough to get on it. And he had to get the seeds and everything planted early enough so that it would grow before the frost came or the bad weather came. And at harvest time, the same thing. He had to get it off there before the bad weather came in time, or he didn't have it. And so there was a lot of pressure to get this done fast. And Jesus said, or the Bible says, even then, that even when the pressure's on, even when there's deadlines, even when there's tons of stuff to do, 6 days you work, the seventh day you take a rest. So I think that for us, that's relevant today. Even when the pressure's on, we need to take a rest. Every once in a while, I need to hear this. Because I live my life like this. My to-do lists are always more than you can accomplish in one day. Anybody have a list like that? Come on, men. Your wives have made lists like that, haven't they? My to-do lists are usually my own lists that I create. I get into this this fantasy world that I live in. That if I work just a little bit harder today, and if I spend more time in it today, and I just spend that little bit of extra time, then I'll have time to rest tomorrow. What I've discovered is this. There's always something to do. And no matter how much you do tomorrow or today, there's always stuff to do tomorrow. And what I've discovered too, tomorrow never comes. As soon as I wake up, it's today. And so you never get a break. You never rest. You can't do it. We're not created to work 24/7, 365. We weren't designed for that. God didn't create us to be that way. He created us to work just 6 days and take a seventh day of rest. In fact, if we try to work 24/7, 365, our body won't function properly. We're more tired, more stressed out, more worried, more irritable, more susceptible to illness. We'll have more conflicts with our relationships because we are just simply, our bodies are tired, we're worn out, we just can't handle the stuff. We get stressed out easier. We get anxiety easier because of all the things that are going on. We'll work harder, but you'll get less done. Ever experienced that? Where you got to get going and you're working harder and harder and harder, but yet you're not as productive as you were if you did it the way God designed it. So God created us to have a Sabbath rest. What would that look like? Well, before we get into what it would look like, let's say what a Sabbath rest doesn't look like. Now, Jesus dealt with this in Matthew chapter 22, verse 23, or Matthew 2, verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going out through the grain fields, and as the disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Now, in the Old Testament, the Sabbath was, and some still people do this, the Sabbath is Saturday. Somewhere along the line, the disciples started to worship Jesus on Sunday. So we would consider our Sabbath, our day of rest, to be, most people would consider it to be Sunday. So Jesus' time, they had, the religious rulers or leaders of that time had put all kinds of rules around what you couldn't do on the Sabbath. One of those was you couldn't walk more than 1,000 paces on the Sabbath, which is about 1.6 kilometers. Now, those who have a Fitbit would be going crazy on Sunday because they would be 9,000 steps short of their goal because they're supposed to have 10,000 steps a day. Also, the religious leaders got mad at Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath. Now, can you imagine this? People come to church on Sunday, and we're spending time here together, and somebody wants prayer for healing. We say, "I'm sorry, but we can't do that on Sunday." Does that seem a little crazy to you? These are the rules that they had created. No one was allowed to work on the Sabbath. Now, what they had done with this, I mean, they got really deep. Somebody was a detailed person here. They had 39 different categories to define work. Can you imagine? 39 different categories. One or two of those categories were you couldn't harvest on the Sabbath or you couldn't prepare a meal on the Sabbath. And all those who are the cookers in the family are saying, "Yes, we should reestablish that. They're not allowed to cook on the Sabbath." And the disciples had done both those. They had harvested by walking by some grain, picking the grain and eating it. They had broke two Sabbath laws. They were not allowed to harvest, which they had picked a few. And when they ate it, they had prepared a meal. And so they were mad because they had broken two of those Sabbath rules. See, this is what it says. When I was a kid, I remember the rules that we had around the Sabbath on the Sunday. You weren't allowed to watch or weren't allowed to play football, baseball, basketball, none of those things. You weren't allowed to watch TV on the Sabbath. In fact, you were allowed to go to church, eat food, go to sleep, to get up to go to church. In fact, I mean, some of you people are going to think, this is completely out there somewhere. This is weird. But I remember as a kid, we would go over to someone's house. for lunch after church. We would eat lunch. And after lunch, everybody went to a room, laid down, and slept at that house until you got up in time for a little bit of something to eat so you could go back to church. Can you imagine doing that? So when Chris and I come over to your house for lunch, guess what we're doing? Make sure you have a room ready. No, I'm just kidding. No. I mean, that's what we did. But Dave Hodgins okay with that. He says, give me lunch and a soft couch and I'm good. You see, the religious leaders had said to the disciples said to Jesus, the disciples are breaking some of these laws, these Sabbath laws. And Jesus gave them an example in there, and if you want, you can read that yourself, about how David, King David, had done the same thing, had broke some Sabbath laws. And then he says this, Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God made the Sabbath not to enslave men to a bunch of rules, but so that a person's life will be more full. Now, more full, not meaning more full of activities, not meaning busier, but meaning more enjoyable, pleasing, more fulfilling. Do you want to enjoy life to the max? Take a Sabbath rest. See, what we've done in our minds and in our culture, what was created is that if you really want to enjoy life, that you have to experience everything, and there shouldn't be a gap in your life that's not full of something, because if you're not, you're not really enjoying life, which is completely the opposite of how God designed you. He designed us to have the rest so that we could enjoy life more. It says, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, a thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life, life in all its fullness. Do you want to enjoy life more? Take a Sabbath rest. Relax. Be calm. So the Sabbath is not about a bunch of do's and don'ts. But it's not simply about laying in bed and watching TV all day either. It's more than hitting the pause button of your life to take an hour and a half to go to church. So that when you leave there, you pull off the pause button and you run as fast as you did before you came in. The Sabbath is about taking a 24-hour time period to rest from the work of life and living and to get more connected to Jesus. Did you hear that? A Sabbath rest is about taking a 24-hour time period to rest from the work of life and living and get more connected to Jesus. See, that means resting from laundry. And all those who do laundry said, hey, guess what? Resting from getting groceries. I don't know about you, but I don't define that as restful. In fact, I talked to somebody not that long ago at a grocery store. Sunday has become their busiest day. So if you really want to be relaxed and restful, don't shop on Sunday. Because there's a nut house in there. Right? To rest from getting groceries, getting things fixed. Now, sometimes there's things in our life where it broke, and if you don't fix it, you're in trouble. You just needs to be fixed now. You can't afford to wait until another day. And that's, God understands that. But if it can wait, let it wait. Get rid of schedules. And the budgets that you got to work on. Work on those the other 6 days. I don't know about you, but looking and working on budgets is not restful to me. Okay? You see, we want to get away from the turn the phone off, Really? You know, I think maybe what I might do with my own life, I don't know, maybe you should do that, is keep track of all the texts, Facebook messages, and the calls you get, and then find out how many of those were actually really important that had to be responded to at that very moment. And then figure out the percentage. I would suggest it's at least less than 1% of the Facebook messages, the texts, and the phone calls you get that literally had to be responded to at that very moment. So we can afford to, at least for a time period, turn it off. Turn off the work computer. You don't need to have that on. You don't need to be that accessible. Now, if you haven't taken a Sabbath before, maybe start with 12 hours. Let's see. If you're taking a Sabbath, as you start with 12 hours, you sleep 8. At least the average person sleeps 8. You're getting ready for church. You're going to church. That's probably 12 hours right there. So then once you get your 12, then see if you can punch that out to 18, to get another 4 onto that. Attach 4 where you're not doing any work of the life and living, or the work of life and the work of living, and then see if you can do 4 more where you're not being distracted by the busyness of life and getting into all those things. And once you get to 18, okay, now the real hard part, the last 4. Because it's that last 4 that we're going through withdrawals now. Because we think we have to be doing something. Because we haven't done anything for 18 hours. And so if we don't do something soon, we're gonna have to be hospitalized. Because we're going to take heart attack. And then punch it out so that we're not doing the stuff of the work of life and living. And we're actually involved in things that connects us closer to Jesus. It says in Psalms 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. So if you're trying to take your Sabbath rest and there's some issues going on, remember, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. See, it doesn't say we shouldn't fear, we don't have to fear. We will not fear. Because God is on our side. Though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the sea. It's like, though there's an earthquake. I don't know about you, but I haven't experienced too many of those. We were in Guatemala. We had a tremor. It was pretty freaky. We're sitting in Hector's backyard. And the wall, the block wall between us did this. Hey, those who were there, remember that? Remember that? The block wall was doing this. I was like, whoa, that was weird. Though the mountains crumble, though the earth starts falling apart, we're not going to worry. Because God is our refuge. Though the waters roar and foam, the mountains quake and surge, there is a river whose stream is made glad in the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. That means God's got everything in his hand. He's got it all in control. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. And God of our Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolation he has brought on the earth, he makes wars cease. He ends the earth of the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in all the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So with all this stuff going on, chaos, confusion, wars, earthquakes, devastation, floods, all those things, current things that are happening right now today, the Lord says, Be still and know that I am God. I want you to turn to the person beside you and say, stop, be still. See, that's the scripture saying this, and saying, stop, be still. I'm God. I'm the creator of heaven and earth and everything that's going on around. I have it in my hand. I have it in control. There's nothing that I can't do. I will protect you. I will provide for you. I will take care of you. Be still and know that I am God. On our Sabbath, slow down. Maybe even be silent. No music. No TV. All the youth almost took a panic. No music. Oh no. And just even at the first, I know for some of us that there's something noise all day long. So maybe it's a half hour time slot. For some that seems like a lot. But just silence. And where we're not doing anything, we're not saying anything, we're just in the silence. Spend time in solitude where we shut ourselves out from other people and other noises and everything, and we just maybe go for a walk outside or find a place that's quiet and just listen. Maybe even have that little nap or that little sleep to rest. See, we can rest easy because Jesus has everything in control. I think sometimes the business that happens in our life is because we have the illusion of control. And if we work a little harder, if we keep more connected and we stay on top of everything that's going on and everything that's happening around us and stay social media connected, that we're going to be able to control all these things. And it's an illusion. It's an illusion. Remember? Be still and know that I am God, is what the Lord said. Because it reminds us that it's not us, it's him that has all this in his hands. Now you might say, like, I don't know, man. Pastor, you don't know my life. I can hardly get everything accomplished in 7 days. How am I going to do it in six? I mean, I can't see that being possible. It says in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. If you keep your feet free from, or if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing what as you please or speak idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast in the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Basically, this is what it's saying. If you will keep the Sabbath and rest on the seventh day, God will make 6 days, you will be able to accomplish more than you could in seven. Or even eight. That's what he's saying. He said, if you do this, if you keep this Sabbath, and you don't break it, and you keep it holy to the Lord. Later on in verse 14, you will find the joy of the Lord. You will find the fullness, the joy that God wants you to have in your life. But also, he says, you will triumph in the heights of the land. That you will be successful in what you do. And you will be able to enjoy the success that you have. So what helps us rest? What helps you rest and get closer to Jesus? Maybe it's biking, boating, or baking. Now for me, baking, that would not help me rest. But I don't mind helping to be the taste tester. Maybe running, reading, or riding is what would help you rest and feel you more connected to Jesus. Maybe it's knitting, a nature walk, or napping that helps you rest or get closer to Jesus. Now, God has made us unique. And so what one person finds restful and helps them connect to Jesus, another person will may find tiring, and then they're distracted by it. And so we got to be careful that we don't try to put everybody in the same box. I've talked to people that just find themselves closed in and closer to Jesus when they're running. Now, I don't know that all of us find that enjoyable. But on their Sabbath rest, if they go for a run, they feel more connected. Others, it's a walk on a trail where it's quiet and you get to see the nature and the creation of God. It's different for all kinds of different people. But what helps you relax? What helps you rest? What draws you closer to Jesus? Do those things on the Sabbath. God said, take a Sabbath, rest. Your body, mind, and soul needs it. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning. Even as we've been here together, and we've been talking about you and talking about your word and how you put in, even in the top five of the Ten Commandments says, remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy to you. So, Lord Jesus, I don't believe the commandments finally they're no longer useful. I believe they still apply to us today. And you put them in there, and Lord, not to be some way to restrict us or hold us back or bind us up, but you put it there so that we might enjoy life to the full and that we may be more connected to you. And so, Lord, I pray as we are following the Sabbath, that you would help us, Lord, to do the things that draw us closer to you. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here this morning, we talk about a Sabbath rest and about getting closer to Jesus, and the first step to doing that is making a commitment to him, ask him to be into your life and to be part of your life and to give your life to him. And so here this morning, if you haven't done that yet and you'd like to do that, I would encourage you, just say this prayer after me, a simple prayer of commitment to Jesus, just between you and God. Just repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I recognize I've been going my own way, doing my own thing, and it's not working. I feel empty and alone. So Lord, I just come to you now. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me for my rebellion, for my sin. Take my life. Lord, I want to have a relationship with you. Help me to live for you always. Just with your head bowed and eyes closed. You're here this morning. You said that prayer. There's so much more along that journey. This is just the beginning. And if you have said that prayer and you made that commitment, we would love to give you some information to help you on the decision, the most important decision in your life you just made.